Good morning. Welcome to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie. Going to be a great day to get something done in and around your house. As a matter of fact, looking at our forecast, it is going to be a beautiful week to get something done in and around your house. Look for temperatures to climb up close to around 65 today. A little mixture of sun and clouds. Overnight low will be 48. Tomorrow, just a little nicer with a high of 72. And then all of next week, temperatures hovering right around the 70s and a lot of sun. It's just going to be a beautiful time to get something done in and around your house. And we also have a special guest coming up at 8 o'clock. We are going to be joined by Brian Arlinghouse, who is going to help you get things ready for your home, ready for the oncoming onslaught of winter. And we've looked at a couple of different things in the Farmer's Almanac, where it tells us that we can expect colder than normal temperatures and more than average snowfall. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Ernie. I always thought you followed what the woolly worm was doing.
You know what? I saw one of those for the first time. I came out of my front door, and there was a gigantic woolly worm crossing the sidewalk.
So what did he say? What did he tell you?
I was going to say, I stood there for just a few minutes and waited for him to give me some weather advice, and he ignored me totally.
Excuse me, Mr. Woolly Worm.
So I just sort of scooched him to the side.
Yeah, is that true? Like, you can count the bands? Does that tell you anything what the winter's going to be like?
That's the old wives' tales. Right. But I can tell you the squirrels have been extremely active at our house.
You know, they have been.
Yeah.
It's funny you say that. And, you know, the stink bug activity as well. It kind of leads me to believe, you know, things might come a little sooner than later. So yeah. I don't know.
I have to tell you about that stink bug thing. My wife, Lisa, I heard her just sort of lose her temper just a little bit the other day.
Really?
Oh.
That's unlike her. That's not Lisa.
It really is unlike her. And one of the reasons was she kept finding these little stink bugs around the kitchen. You know, we do a lot of stuff in and out of our side porch and that sliding glass door. And apparently, I've left it open a couple of times, too many times maybe, but, she was frustrated because there was a couple of them in the kitchen and a couple of more in the living room where the door had been open. We'd been moving rugs in and out, you know, doing a little fall cleaning before we settle in for the winter. And, it was just funny.
Oh, it is. Mm-hmm. You know, the other day I was just cruising along in my Jeep and look over at the passenger side window was cracked just a little bit. There's like three of them hanging out right on the top and are holding on for dear life, you know, and I'm probably doing about 45. And it's like, really, guys?
She swatted one out of the air. We were sitting out on the porch watching the sunset and you could just see this little stink bug flying toward us. And as it approached the porch looking like it was trying to get in. Mm-hmm. Wham! Not today, stink bug.
You know, the odor they put off almost, to me, now maybe other people might pick up a different scent, but it almost smells like cilantro in a way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Don't put them on your salad.
No. I mean, you might be able to as a substitute. I don't know. I'm not encouraging you to do that, but... Yeah, but all those little pesky invaders, you know, even... I might even post it on our Facebook page sometime later this morning during the show. You know, also, usually mice are always trying to find their way into the hole this time of year. Yep. You know, the stink bug, obviously, that we've been just talking about. The lady Asian beetles as well. So a lot of little critters are trying to decide and determine where it is they're going to go in and who they're going to visit this fall and winter. Yep. So
it has been a beautiful, beautiful fall. I know you've got big event going on the Jackson's today.
Yeah, the big pumpkin patch party. As a matter of fact, kids can purchase pumpkins. We have all the get up necessary to do all the fun paintings and so forth, the faces and whatever it is. A lot of little kids get very, very creative, interesting things.
Yep.
Also, a lot of kids get paints all over the place, so that's kind of funny too. But that's part of the fun.
Yeah.
And we'll have cider, apples, and popcorn and all the good stuff. And fun day. Looks like it's going to be a really nice day. Mm-hmm. I heard you threw the owl sleet on us.
Yes. And we want to encourage everyone to get out today and visit your local garden center.
Oh, definitely. A lot of beautiful stuff still out there available to be had. If you, if you're a little bit behind on some of your fall decor, no worries, because there are plenty of corn stalks that are available, straw bales that are available, an abundance of mums, and some of the ornamental cabbages and kale. some of the really cool pumpkins and the gnarly gourds that I always talk about and like so much.
Gnarly, man.
As a matter of fact, talking about those kind of decor items, oddly enough, and I'm going to post this one on Facebook too because we have a stack of these pumpkins. We're out of them now, but everybody's gravitating towards this like gray, greenish pumpkin of some sort.
Really?
Yes. And in recent years, it's kind of funny. You can see how things trend. And when I say that, like you'll have a certain style of pumpkin or gourd that people just don't particularly care for whatever reason. And then the next year is the one that sells out first. Well, this particular one I'm talking about, it has a green, grayish color to it. And someone told me it was in Southern Living, and I'm like, oh, okay, that explains it. You know, all of a sudden, you know, when people see these photographs or ideas about things that you can do with decor and so forth with some of the pumpkins and gourds, it's really neat stuff. And, you know, so that pumpkin we're out of. I don't know if you can find it or not, but it's interesting how things just kind of trend, you know, especially during this time of year.
Yeah. I just love this time of year. I know
we were
before we came on the show this morning, you and I were sitting here in the studio talking about a couple of different things and been gathering an awful lot of firewood. I had the very good fortune of having one of my friends and neighbors not far from my house sadly had to take down a couple of trees that had died, and I happened to be in the right place at the right time. So I helped him. I got him hooked up with somebody who could save him some money by taking the tree down. And I told him I'd take all of the wood and bring it over to my house for firewood. You know, my wife just loves to burn fire, and I love it too, I have to admit. So we have been gathering all this, and we're going to do a firewood day at our house. Lisa has volunteered to cook, and I'm going to invite some close personal friends over to come by and cut and split and stack firewood, and then we'll eat. And, you know, I'd like to,
All of a sudden, I'm personal here? Yeah, right. New wordy. All of a sudden, I'm one of your personal friends. Is that, we're friends, but I don't know how much we hang out. But, yeah, when you need a little bit of labor, a little bit of brawn.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that, bud.
No?
That's what I like about you. See, you're always thinking. You know how to exploit the situation, don't you?
It's a free exercise program.
One
day only, a free exercise program at my house.
So you're going to make a video and a workout, like a workout video for people log splitting?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Tony, we have Sylvia on the line from Bridgetown. She's got a question about some crabgrass. Hi, Sylvia.
Hi, I have two questions.
Okay.
The one that's really bugging me is the grubs.
Mm-hmm.
I've been using the Fertilome three-step program for some years now.
Sure.
This is the first year. It never dawned on me that when the grass was dying in September that it was grubs.
Usually, Sylvia, that's when we see the fallout of grub activity, unfortunately. And that was really occurring there shortly after the female had laid her eggs in the soil surface. And after the eggs hatch, the larvae, they start really heavily feeding on the root system of our turf. And for like throughout the month of July, August, going into, you know, September, they're just in a feeding frenzy. And it's usually late September when we start noticing, hey, wow, what's been going on?
Yeah.
And it's the result of grub activity. I'm you know, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but right now there's very little that you can do about it. It's a timing thing from that standpoint. You know, if you can just pick up the pieces and repair some of those areas and maybe sow grass seed. And when I say sow grass seed, I'm sorry. We're pushing the envelope, too, from that standpoint. If you look at it like this, today is the 10th, and typically in 14 days is on your, you know, the seed germinates. That puts us at the 24th of the month. And usually around that time, we're starting to see some frost, heavy freezes, and so forth. And that can be detrimental to newly sown grass. You know, it could knock it back. But on the flip side, I've seen where we've just gone through the month of October and into November with really great weather, you know, that Indian summer kind of term. And you can pull it off. So I certainly wouldn't be hesitant to try and repair some of those spots.
Okay. Now, some of the spots that I rake, the sod actually comes up, and some of it doesn't come up, but I can make a furrow in it.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have to take up all of that or just...
You know, rake out what you can that's loose or you know, that's willing to come up. And if you need to add a little bit of topsoil to it, that's fine. If not, that's fine. As long as you loosen that up well enough when you sow grass seed that you get that good soil to seed contact.
Okay.
And, you know, push it and see what happens. And then the other thing is come back and winter seed perhaps, you know, like late February. And since you're on a three-step program, as you mentioned, at that point in time, just remember where you've sown seed and allow that to get up before you use any of the first step from Fertilume. That's the one with the prodiamine, because that will prevent your seed from germinating.
Okay. Now, is there anything I can do in the spring to prevent this again next year? Anything I can
put? Well, usually there are some products that you can use, GrubX and so forth. And use those products like mid-May through July.
Okay.
You know, put them down. Try to get those down, you know, mid-May to towards the latter part of June. And therefore, as the masked chafer or the Japanese beetle, as she lays her eggs, you're going to be able to go after those guys.
Okay. Now, in the same area where I have the grub, that's the area between the street and the sidewalk, I have a long strip on my side.
Uh-huh.
And the fences, I have a corner lot in my... Two neighbors on either side do not treat their lawns.
Right.
So I have crabgrass along their fence lines.
Mm-hmm.
Crabgrass also out on the street where the grubs are.
Mm-hmm.
So next year, is there anything I can put down if I sow seed? You know, I can't put down the step one. Is there anything I can put down for crabgrass?
You can. And I want you to be willing to, you know, pay the fiddler, so to speak. There is a product out there. It's called Tupersan, and it also goes under the name of Siguron.
Okay, you want to spell that?
Yeah, it's T-U-P.
Okay.
E-R-S-O-N.
Okay.
Or S-A-N, Tupersan.
Okay.
Or Siguron, S-I-D-U-R-O-N.
U-R-O-N?
Yes, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, I might be off a character or two, but...
On Google.
But, yeah, but anyway. Tupersan or Siguron. And those two products, you know, it's going to go under one name or the other, will allow you to sow grass seed and also have protection against crabgrass germination.
Okay.
So that in itself, it's worth its weight in gold if you have a sizable area that you want to get established. And as far as the crabgrass is concerned, when you mentioned when you first got on the air with us this morning, you said you were in a three-step program?
Yes.
Did you put that in the first step this year?
Yes.
When did you do that?
Whenever you told me to in the spring. I listened to your show.
Mid-March, you know, towards the middle, latter part of April?
Probably March.
Yeah, you shouldn't have seen any crabgrass. So that kind of catches me off guard.
Oh, you...
Because the prodiamine is an excellent product preventing that from germinating.
Caught you off guard. This is the first time I had crabgrass in about 15 years.
Mm.
And I couldn't catch up with it. Every time I'd go out and mow, I'd see some, and I'd spray it, and I'd go back, and I swear it's just multiplying.
Mm, are you sure it's... What are you using when you spray?
Could you do us a favor? You know, obviously, when the sun comes up, walk out and snap a couple of photos and send it to us on our Facebook page?
Of the crabgrass?
Yeah.
It looks like it's...
It's dying out now. It should be starting to.
Well, we just want to make sure we're identifying the right. Annoyance here.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'll try.
If you had the opportunity, that would be helpful as well.
But I use the bear crabgrass killer, and it killed it. Sometimes I had to use it twice.
Yeah, that sounds like that. You know, again, I don't know which one of the Bayer products that you're using. They do, in fact, have two types of crabgrass killer. Okay. One has the quinclorac in it, and the other one that's a little stronger and more effective is phenoxaprop. So they do have two versions of a crabgrass killer. Now, the one thing I do want to point out, if you were trying to go after crabgrass when the temperatures were hovering around 90 degrees, you were kind of like putting out effort that just really wasn't going to bring you any reward because... At those temperatures, things shut down, you know. Plants aren't taking in the product. So that might have been part of the equation as well.
Okay.
So don't sound discouraged. I mean, you can pick up the pieces and move along and still get your turf back into shape. So there's just some things you need to do.
So if I get it again, when do I try and kill it when it's like...
Well, we're hoping to prevent it. So that's the whole idea here. You know, using the 2% or Sidurin in the spring as you're sowing grass seeds want to help prevent crabgrass germination.
Okay,
excuse me.
There's a Weed Out with Q. Does that...
That's a crabgrass killer as well, yes. That's Fertilume's version.
And that is that just something you spray after it's...
After you see it, yeah, after you see it actively growing or after it first emerges and you can identify it,
okay.
That's a perfect product to use, yes.
Okay.
But hopefully we can prevent it. That's the key.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
But if you get a chance to snap a couple of photos, send them to us on our Facebook page. We'd like to see what we're looking at, what we're talking about.
Okay.
All right,
Sylvia. Hang in there. Stay at it.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. We need to pause. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, and beautiful weather for today and all of next week. It's going to be a fantastic chance for you to get a lot of those outdoor chores completed. And,
absolutely.
Because the leaves are really starting to fall off of the trees now. But we say this quite often, and we want to remind you again, don't start raking them up right away. Mulch those first couple of droppings, and it's great for your yard, your lawn.
Yeah, any of that kind of stuff. If you can mulch them up into smaller pieces, if you have a really good mulching mower. But also, too, don't be afraid to rake some of those up and run over them with your lawn mower, then put them in a compost bin.
Right.
Huge benefit right there. And also, if you get the opportunity, some of your grass clippings this time of year, if you want to bag and add it to the compost bin along with the leaves, you're adding some nitrogen with the carbon that you get from the leaves. So over time, that will break down, heat up, and provide you with some nice compost.
Got to love that.
Got to love it. You got to love it. And also, you know, there's, for those who have been putting it off or been too busy to think about it, you need to get down that first application, that fall fertilization on your lawn. Very, very, very important. And we talk about this all the time. And the Fertilume three-step program, which most of us are very familiar with in the Cincinnati area and have had great success with it. The fall is the best time to get into that program if you're not, or if you're thinking about doing it yourself. Definitely rewarding, and give it some time. If your yard's kind of really whacked up and whacked out of shape, give it some time, because it just doesn't, it's not the magic bullet. It's not the magic pill. You know, it does take a little time and a little effort, but in time you'll see some great, fantastic results. And again, the fall season's the best time to get into it. And if you do not have a spreader, I say this all the time, ask one of the fellows, the staff members at your local nursery or garden center, if you can borrow a spreader, and make sure that you return it. Sometimes people are a little slow to return some things, but we're doing you a favor. We're loaning you a spreader at no charge. So I'm saying we do that at Jackson's. I'm not talking about other people that do it at no charge. But certainly we're willing to help you get your yard looking good. So just keep that in mind. Get that first step down. And if you have already applied that first step, I'm sure you're seeing some really great results. You're seeing some deep greening color coming about in the lawn and some good growth. And remember that that second application will go down in the middle of November.
And stay on top of it. You know, don't do the Ernie Brown method where you ignore it and then you have to work twice as hard to get rid of it.
No, there's just a gentleman, he and his wife were in a store the other day, and they've been doing the Fertilume three-step program for the last 2 to 3 years. He had invited me out to his home one day to take a look at his turf, and there were some issues, and he was really frustrated, but he was patient enough to take the necessary steps and approach to getting rid of some unwanted pesky broadleaf weeds and so forth. And now he's very, very happy with the results of the Fertilume three-step program. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the 4 steps and the 5 steps and the 6 steps and however many steps somebody's trying to sell you, buyer beware. You know, you don't need all that nitrogen on your lawn. And a lot of times nitrogen can be your enemy. It can create a lot more problems than it will do you any good. So definitely keep that into consideration. And also, the more you fertilize, when you over-fertilize, you're creating a lot of maintenance for yourself. You're mowing more often.
And we want your yard and lawn and flower beds to all survive the oncoming onslaught.
Absolutely. You know, I was talking with a gentleman the other day that has really taken the necessary steps to get his lawn back into shape. And part of the whole process was they rented a dethatching unit, tore up the old turf, really cleaned it up well, according to what he was telling me. And he rented a seed slitter. And so they bought a few bags of ExecuTurf's Tough Turf and went at it. And, you know, I was kind of like conveying to him that, you know, you need to kind of protect your investment, put a little straw down. In some situations where you have like gentle slopes and so forth, maybe some netting, pin it down to keep things in place. And they had a hard rain and it just washed a lot of his efforts out and away. And sometimes we can't control what Mother Nature brings our way. We always appreciate the rain and moisture. But if it comes in a downpour and it starts running or washing away the soil surface, you're just going to have to pick up the pieces and go right back at it. But protect what it is that you're doing, because there's a lot of hard work and effort and a lot of money tied up. Do it right, and you won't have to come back and do it a second time, hopefully.
Yeah, that sometimes when you talk about the rain, we had quite a bit of it earlier in the year, and I would just give me reason to think maybe that might have been some of the problems that Sylvia was having in battling that crabgrass, is because
crabgrass loves moisture, heat, humidity.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Right. And if you put an application down and it rains and gets washed off, that could be an issue.
Exactly.
Also,
now that comes into play, you know. Yeah. It makes it non-effective.
Exactly. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, 749 B105. We need to pause. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. A beautiful day to get something done in and around your house. A lot of ways to stay connected with us. You can look us up and like us on Facebook. You can send us pictures, post questions, and we'll do everything we can to get back with you as quickly as possible and to get those questions answered for you.
Absolutely. Anita, last night I was telling you earlier, I had a wonderful time last night at the Boone County Arboretum's annual fall autumn affair event. It was a great time. It really was. Ran into some folks that I haven't seen in a while. As a matter of fact, Tim Back from Back Tree was there. He was just telling me a little bit about a big tree farm that he's in the midst of trying to acquire, which sounds really exciting. And our good friends from over at the Cincinnati Zoo, the Botanical Gardens, Steve Foltz and Scott Byerline were there, and they had a little duel amongst one another, like talking about some of their favorite plants and shrubs and so forth. It was a great time, and the food was just delicious. You know, the appetizers, they had a little bit of wine and all that good stuff there. And I conducted part of a live auction, and that was fun. We were talking about some different plant species and so forth that we'll talk about here in a little bit.
How was your auctioneer
my babble? Skills? Yeah. I don't know. It was the first time I had ever done anything of the sort. I had a great time. It was fun.
Yep.
Some people were very complimentary of the whole event, which made me feel good. But again, I don't know. They might always tell you that was good.
And then when you walk away, yeah, you go, boy,
I'll tell
terrible.
You what, don't bring him back. Don't bring him back next year. Yeah, but oh, that's just how it rolls, you know.
Yeah,
but it was a great event, really was. And there's some just really, really cool, interesting plant species and different things that I've not really seen before. And but I did manage to walk away taking home an item that I had picked up through a silent bid, and it was the Michael Dodge Linden Viburnum, and the yellow berries on this particular viburnum are a showstopper. And I did post those on our Facebook page. And still in my Jeep, and I brought it in this morning into the hallway here downstairs at the radio station and snapped a couple of photographs of it. I was bound and determined that I was not leaving without this plant.
Uh-huh.
So I have a perfect spot for it down in the yard. And I need to do a little bit of work next year to get some things revamped in my landscape down in the back. It's gotten away from me a little bit. And when things get away from you, that's not good, because you spend a lot more time and effort getting it back versus just kind of taking care of it along the way. You know what that's like.
I do.
And we all fall victim to it, as a matter of fact. And I say this often. You know, a lot of times people will ask me, Tony, I bet your yard's just beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, my lawn always looks good, but there's other elements of the landscape that sometimes needs to be revamped or revisited and changed out. and I've been working on it a little bit at a time. I need to get things back into check, like the painter whose house needs to be painted, right?
Yep.
Or the plumber who has a leaky faucet, or the shoe person whose kids need shoes.
We call those round to-its at our house.
Round to-its?
Round to-its. I'll get around to that.
I've seen a little round button that said to-it on it.
That's
so
it.
That's that round
to-it. Exactly what that is. Lisa's got one of those. And when I'm not...
I bet you have a couple.
And when I'm not timely on getting some things done, she'll walk over and lay it down on whatever project I need to finish.
Oh, I like that. That's a good idea. That's kudos to you, Lisa. I know how you get Ernie to do things when you're effective, because I'm not that effective. So I need a couple of those round to a disc.
Yeah.
Little.
It draws attention right back to it in time to get it finished.
Nothing wrong with that. But, you know, this is the time of year also, Ernie, that we need to emphasize, you know, start now with some of your fall cleanup. Don't put it all off to the very end, because sometimes if the weather's not permitting, it will keep you from finishing up some of those chores.
Yes.
And what's most important are some of those areas, you know, in your vegetable gardens and so forth, those beds, if you have raised beds or if they're just your standard type of garden beds, any of that old stuff that's died off and all the debris that has fallen to the ground, make sure that you get all that stuff up, tidy it up. If you don't, you know, you're kind of setting the stage for next year where you're going to possibly be stricken with the same things that happened this year, because a lot of those diseases, they harbor themselves, they stay there, they lie in the soil, and you're looking at the same thing that happened to you this year, next year. Also, a lot of insects, you know, they like to hang out and camp out and winter over underneath all of that debris too. And a lot of times you'll see those guys next year. So you're just inviting those problems. So clean those things up. Also, you know, I say this often too, part of the home ownership is looking after things, you know, around the home, and going into the fall season as things start to fall, hence the term fall season. You know, leaves and things like that starting to fall and get caught up in the gutters. And that's one of my pet peeves. And all my friends are always asking me, why don't you put those gutter guards up there? Why don't you do this? You know, well, come on over and do it for me. But
you're going to invite your personal friends over?
Well, I know wouldn't see you come high water. I'm going to leave the other part of that out. Sure. Yeah.
Well, that plant's beautiful. Make sure you jump on our In and Around the House Facebook page.
That dude is handsome as all get out. Yep. Michael Dodge, Lyndon Viburnum. So yeah. I'm going to get a pollinator for this cat, too. So, but this is one. Usually they're red berries. This is totally different. They're yellow. Uh-huh. And like I said, I was not leaving without it.
You were going to outbid everyone.
Yes, and I did right seconds before the bids closed. And this lady that was there trying to get this particular species, she's like, "Dag!" I'm like, "Well, dag, bid it up, because I'm a trump you."
Yeah,
doesn't matter how much you put on it.
Great.
Well, it could.
In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, 749-B105. We need to pause. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. It is going to be a great day to get something done in and around your house. And, Tony, we have Donna on the line from Cincinnati. Hi, Donna. What's going on with your tree?
Well, and on the one side of my house, I have a big yard, and I have a lot of trees.
Uh-huh.
And on the one side of my house, it doesn't get sunlight in that particular area.
Okay.
But when you walk through there or you're cutting the grass,
mm-hmm.
it always smells a little bit like mildew.
Have you seen any little mushroom growth at all on that side of the house?
I have not.
Okay. And what, and again, I know this sounds like an odd question. Do you know if that side of the house is on the south side or the north side? Is it, where does the sun travel in relation to your house?
When the sun comes up, it's in the front of the house.
Okay.
When it sets, it's at the back of the house.
Okay. And so the mildewy smell is on?
On the, I guess you would say the south.
The south side?
Mm-hmm.
Now that should see enough sun, especially during the summer, that it would keep most moisture from there. Have you seen any other, what kind of trees there? Let me ask you that.
Well, in the very front of the house, we have a catalpa tree.
Okay.
And then I believe we have possibly a walnut tree.
Okay. In the backside.
And then we have, I think, beech trees.
Okay.
I live on a street with a lot of the beech trees.
And how's the lawn or the turf in that area? Is it alive?
There's not much grass.
Okay.
It's more of a dirt. Right now, it's a thin, very, very thin grass area. I've only lived there since early summer.
Okay. And so, and I'm just trying to wrap my mind around this. Down in your basement, do you have that same smell?
No.
No? No water?
No.
Okay. Boy, it just sounds like to me that something is decaying underneath there. And when you said you had a walnut tree, wouldn't surprise me. Have you seen any fresh diggings? Squirrels will be hiding and digging and...
Not in that area of the yard, no.
Okay. Can you take a couple of photos of that when the sun comes up and send it to us? Tony, do you have...
Sure. I don't know. Some trees at different points in time might give off a different odor or smell. I can't honestly answer, do any of those particular trees smell kind of foul or musty, so to speak. On that particular side of the house, is there a tree next to that side of the house, or the trees in the front and back?
No, they're away from the house.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, here's what I'd like you to do, Donna, is when the sun comes up, snap a couple of pictures of that area and send them to us on our Facebook page. So there might be something we're missing or that didn't get described in our conversation here that we can identify.
Okay.
And we'll see what we can do to find out for you.
Yeah, but the other thing I want to ask, does it stay wet over on that side of the house by chance?
Yeah.
I think it has a lot to do with it. And
think so, too.
Yeah, do you see any, mildew or mold growing on the side of the home? Do you have a siding? Do you have siding on your home or something?
No,
all brick?
I have a brick home.
Okay.
But
okay.
I don't see any, molding there, but towards a little bit away from it, towards my deck, which is wood, I see a little bit of maybe the green.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah, it could be. If it's staying, if it's staying wet, a lot of times even your soil will take on a sour odor to it. And you might be experiencing a little bit of that. I wouldn't seem to think, with the trees in the front or the back, we do pick up different scents from trees throughout the various times of the year when they're in bloom and so forth. But I don't think it's really your trees. I think it's a moisture problem, and that soil might be just saturated to the point where you're getting that odor, that smell.
Okay.
If you dig into some of that, have you done any of that, the soil where it's kind of moist and just lift it up and take a whiff?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, you might try that and see if that is the source or not. That's going to tell you if it's going to rule that out or if it's in play or not.
Okay. And I do have one more short question. I have orchids in my house.
Mm-hmm.
How often should I be giving them an ice cube or feeding them?
Orchids are a funny thing. And before I answer that question, I'm going to ask you this. What type of pot is it in? Is it in a plastic pot or a clay pot, or is it in an actual orchid pot?
It's in an actual orchid pot.
It has the slits on the side?
Yes.
Perfect. Two things that you can do. I know that a lot of people like to use the ice cube approach, and there's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, even though you might be watering it with the ice cube, as it melts, it gets in there. And the one thing what we're talking about, Ernie, is orchids do not like to stay wet. So that's why it's important to have it in an orchid pot with the holes on the side. The actual air roots are what grabs the moisture for that plant. But, you will see that foliage on it where it just looks real spongy. It doesn't look firm. That's an indication that it still needs a little bit more moisture. Now, a really good approach with the orchid situation is this. If you were to take a glazed saucer, like what you would find if you were to buy pottery at a garden center or nursery,
right?
Put a little bit of stone in the bottom of it, like small gravel stone, and pour water in it. And set your orchid pot on top of that. And those air roots, do you have a lot of air roots with the orchid?
I do.
Perfect. What they're going to do is they're going to pull that humidity in. They're going to pull that moisture in from the humidity. And that water in the saucer underneath, it's going to provide that.
Oh, okay.
So that's another really good way to water your orchids. How old is your orchid plant by chance?
I just bought them the new ones because my other ones didn't do well last week.
Yeah. You know, the demise of most orchids is overwatering. And occasionally what you will do, you'll repot those every couple of years. Use an orchid bark mix. So you get that good, you know, air that penetrates, gets into the root system and around it, and water permeates it easily. That's important. Keep it in a window or near a window that's north-facing or east-facing, and when it's finished blooming, it's going to go into a little slowdown stage, so to speak, and just trim back down the stalk at a node and make a cut right above it at a 45-degree angle, and it will eventually start new growth and bud up for you down the road.
Okay.
Orchids are easy to take care of. Little tip, too. A customer came into the store one time, and, you know, you were talking about the ice cube approach, which a lot of people do. She went as far as to take it and use fertilizer, you know, orchid fertilizer with the ice cubes, and she would do that every so often. So she would put the orchid fertilizer in with the ice cubes, or she would mix it first accordingly and then pour it in the ice cube tray. So I thought that was kind of neat and interesting. Very clever.
Right. All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. I wish you the best on the mold or musty smell, but see if it might be the soil.
And don't forget to take a couple of photos and send them to us.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, 749-B105. We need to pause. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, and we've been covering an awful lot of ground today, but we've also last week had the pleasure of welcoming back our old friend Karen Sackstetter and talked a lot about fall decorating and fall decor, and this is the time.
Oh, it is. Just, you know, getting ready for Halloween in particular, and if you have little ones around the house, grandkids, they really...
costume picked out.
Oh, yet? Do I have mine? Yeah.
Well, I can't wait. Well, okay, don't say anything.
This.
Don't tell me, because we're going to take some pictures and post them on the Halloween weekend. That'll be our Halloween
it
show.
It involves a comb-over. How's that?
I can loan you some hair.
Well, you know, you have plenty of it. I don't. As a matter of fact, great. And I'm okay with that. Yeah. I mean, there's some guys that get upset, and there are some chicks that like guys with long hair like yourself, and there's some chicks that like guys like me that don't have hair. There's room for everybody.
Oh,
there's
sure.
Some, right.
I wasn't saying
that. Yeah, your hair's really
pretty.
You know,
the 31st, our show will be on Halloween morning. So that will be so much fun.
You know something?
We'll come in costume.
You know something I would like to do between now and that show on the 31st, if at all possible?
And what's that?
I was reading something the other day in the Kentucky Magazine. I don't know if you get that. Kind of an interesting magazine. But it was about haunted houses, you know, homes that are haunted. And I would love to experience some sort of a ghost encounter or something that's really bizarre, because, you know, I've had a couple little interesting tidbit things that have happened to me at the florist and garden center, and things that really a couple of times I was there by myself. Just it's unexplainable stuff. And we all have experienced something like that. But, just to see a figure or something actually. Whatever, move. I don't know. I like the haunted homes. You know,
sure.
there's character there. There's something that's like eerie, and who doesn't?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, especially this time of year.
Like, you know, between now and the 31st, you know, actually Halloween, if we could go to one of these places or contact somebody, you know, they talk about Bobby Mackey's being haunted. You know. I think the Carneal House over in Covington is haunted. You know, I don't know. You hear all these things, and it's neat. It's eerie. And if we can get people to talk about hauntings or things that happened, it was weird. You know, the one show that we did, actually, this is going back to 2011. Someone had mentioned that their friend passed away. What was the deal with their cell phone? That they would get calls.
That we get texts.
Or something really weird.
Yep. And it would show up once.
Yeah. Isn't that
well,
neat?
I may have some haunt stories for you on Halloween, on the Halloween show, because the night before, Lisa and I are going to see the Long Island Medium.
I lay with like 10-inch fingernails. those back scratchers. Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah, we're gonna go see you.
Oh, you're killing me. Now hold on.
She's down at the Aronoff
Center. I love this. So like, will you get? Is she just want to talk to people?
I don't know. I've never seen her, but you know, it's gonna be interesting.
Wow. What provoked that? How did you
get those tickets? Lisa's a huge fan, and she wanted to go last year, but we just didn't get... It was sold out in a blink of an eye, and we didn't get a chance to go, and the tickets were pretty expensive. But when I happened to be in the right place at the right time, when the show got announced, I was online, and they were getting ready to announce it the following day, and I got this email saying, hey, you might want to check this out. So I surprised her by purchasing some seats, and then I sat on them for probably about a week, and then the release came, the press release that she was coming to the Aronoff, mm-hmm. and the tickets were going to go on sale, and I knew what was going to happen. Lisa was like, oh, I really would like to go see her. I know we can't afford it, and so I just took the tickets. I saw she was playing with Gideon, our youngest grandson. And so I put the tickets on the counter, mm-hmm. put her phone over top of them, then went outside and called her phone.
Oh, so that's clever. I like that. That's good.
That was very nice. The medium was working.
Wow. You know, that would be interesting to, do you think some of that's really true or possible, you know, where somebody can connect to somebody from the past and do you think that stuff's kind of like generalized? Like, somebody's going to hit on something that relates to you or something.
I don't know. I certainly know that when I talk to my father all the time, I talk to friends who have passed, and there are some things in life that you just really can't explain.
Right.
And I gotta wonder, for instance, you will, it's just so bizarre. Something will happen, and you will go, oh, man, I can't understand why. And then you'll get a clue or something else will show up.
It's really interesting. I'm just wondering, you know, if there's a whole lot of credence or credibility to somebody being able to touch base or get in contact with somebody from the past. And Ernie's going to go see that. That's killing me. It's funny to say the least. I know that I can tell you something I found to be strange when I was it was a few years ago when my mom had passed away. My wife and I were up in the state of Maine with some friends. And that night before she had passed away, a couple things had occurred, chain of events had occurred that was really strange. And come to find out, my mom was enduring, going through a series of problems with, she had a heart attack and so forth. And I just happened to call home the next day and typically when Tina and I vacation or go somewhere, it's rare that we make reservations. We like to wing it and just take it in as however we feel or choose to do so. And I just happened to call home the next day, and my aunt picked up the phone, and she was, it was somebody who was saddened and crying, and I thought I had the wrong number, Ernie. And I'm like, ma'am, I got the wrong number. No, Tony, is this you? And, oh, gosh, that was the longest day of my life to come all the way back home from Maine. But there was a course of events, and sometime maybe I'll talk a little bit about it on the 31st. But, I don't know if there was some connectivity there or not, but interesting to say the least.
Right. 749-B105, Tony, we have Regina on the line who was just listening to us and got an invitation for you. Hi, Regina. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
I was listening to your show, and I wanted to invite yourself and the listeners out there to an event. I am part of the Miami Historical Society in Miami County, Ohio.
Okay. Do you have us on a speakerphone by any chance?
No, I do. I'm on my cell phone.
Okay, because we're only getting about a third of what you're trying to say. Okay. So you live in, you're from Miami Town?
I live on the west side of town. I'm part of the Miami Historical Society.
Okay.
Which is right off of I-74, 275, when they come together.
Uh-huh.
Give me just a minute. I'm going to test it.
I'm really sorry, Regina, but we're only getting just about every once in a while, like just a couple of syllables. And I think you said you're from the Miami Historical Society.
Yes, I am.
Okay. And what's going on?
This Tuesday evening, we are having a speaker. We have a speaker once a month. And this Tuesday, we're having a speaker.
Okay. Hey, Regina, I'm sorry. Hold on just a second. I'm going to have to put you on hold, and then I'll get that info. We just can't understand you. You must be in a bad cell
area. Or can you call us back?
Well, I'll get her on hold, and we'll get that information. Hang on, Regina.
This sounds interesting. I'm interesting to find out what she's trying to invite us to, as a matter of fact.
In and around the house with Tony and Ernie. We need to pause. We'll be right back and see the question for you. Hi, Aaron. Thanks for holding on.
Hey, Tony, I got to say I'm really disappointed that you've never had roasted pumpkin seeds.
Ooh, I'm sorry. I haven't. Will you saute? I mean, like when you roast them, will you roast them with like a little salt or
garlic?
Garlic, whatever.
Absolutely. Soak them in water overnight. Put them on a roasting pan in the oven.
About how long? I'm writing this down as you speak.
Well, you're going to be disappointed because my wife normally takes the lead on this, I'll be honest. I want to say it's maybe between 10 and 20 minutes on about 350.
Okay, 10, 20 minutes, 350.
Don't quote me on it, but I'm sure we'll be carving some up this year with my daughter, so I'll make sure I stop by and bring you some.
No, that sounds great. I'm gonna look up some sort of a recipe or approach. I am going to try it. I've heard people say that they're really good, but I've never.
But still, bring yours down.
Yeah,
to
bring yours
Jackson
down,
Flores.
Will do. Will do. All right.
Thanks, Aaron.
Appreciate it. All right, Aaron.
Take care.
749 B105 in and around the house, Tony, and we have Ron on the line who's got a solution for trick or treaters that are a little too old. Ron, can you turn your phone down or your radio down a little bit?
That sounds great. There you go.
Yeah, thank you. So, every once in a while you start seeing kids that probably have reached that age where they shouldn't be trick-or-treating.
Need to retire.
Mostly when they drive up to your house and they're smoking cigarettes when they come to the door. What is your solution?
Yeah.
What is your solution?
Instead of handing candy out to them, just give them an apple or two.
I like it.
Some kind of fruit or something, because nowadays these kids don't eat fruit.
Yeah. Right, right.
That or a vegetable.
Yeah. I like that idea. Here's a carrot.
I like that carrot idea.
And then they'll quit coming to your house.
I like that idea, Ron. Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
I appreciate the call, and thanks for hanging on. I kind of like that idea.
Yeah, so next year they'll remember, you don't want to go to that house.
That's right. He doesn't give out, he gives out carrots.
Do you remember the people that used to hand out change? You might get a nickel they might throw a couple of pennies. When you're a youngster, a real little one, when you would get money, that was big. You didn't really understand the amounts, but that was a little different than getting candy.
Well, it was a little more difficult, too. Where we grew up, there was our house, the Eubanks, and then the Wilsons, just a small cluster of houses on Old 17. Old 17.
Yeah, there were two-lane road. Right, right. There weren't many homes there to trick-or-treat. you would be finished in 15 minutes.
That's right.
Huh?
Yeah, that was pretty much it. And but we still had an awful lot of fun. It was still a great time.
What was the right there by Corbin's, right before you cross the bridge, there used to be a little saloon there on the left.
Yeah.
What was the name of that place?
Hot's Hut?
Nah, that one doesn't ring a bell.
I should know that because it was the Carsons that lived there. I know my friend Bill Eubank is going to be calling me and telling me who it is, but there was Kaiser's a little farther down the road, and then... golly, it's just escaping me right at the moment.
I can just remember we would go on car rides, and that part of 03L was the main artery out the highway, and you'd pass old Chisel Bridge, and there was a little place there was on the right. They raised chickens,
Do you remember? That was Mr. Quick's Farm. Yeah,
that's Mr. Quick's Farm.
Yep. And that's where we got our milk growing up. On Saturday morning, Dad would put me and my brother Cliff in the car, and maybe, Barb or Mary, and we'd go down with our containers down to Quick's Farm, and he would fill them up with milk, and then we'd come back, and that was our milk source.
Wow.
Yep.
I just remember those days we would take a ride, I'd say another place we would always take rides to, Ernie, out Locust Pike.
Oh, yeah.
You just go out that way, and my dad was always about the rides.
Sure.
Let's go take a ride.
Yep.
And we'd stop, and he'd get me those little packages, those little cheese crackers that were octagon-shaped, Lance. I think they were Lance crackers, They pull them off that chip clip.
Yep.
And
good times.
Oh, it was. It was funny. We always take those rides. And just, you know, going back to those times, just, yeah, that old part of 3L was just really neat.
Sure was.
And unique.
Yeah. So you had a long walk when you were trick-or-treating. Coming up at 8 o'clock, we are going to get you ready for fall and winter. Brian Arlinghouse is going to be joining us from Arlinghouse Heating and Air. And there's a lot of things you need to be doing just to make sure that you're not caught with an issue during the winter.
We're fast approaching the winter months, and make sure you get ready to tune up your system, your heating system, when we say that. And Arlinghouse, great guys. They've done a lot of work for us. It seemed like a lot of us have used Brian Arlinghouse and his business to take care of some of our own woes at home. I know that I had that new system, and they tuned it up where the house feels really, really comfortable. Sure. And I can't say anymore how pleased that Tina and I am with the way things have been with the train system.
Mm-hmm.
But very comfortable. Like I said, I've said this before, and you always make a little comment about it, but our bedroom used to be the hottest room and the coldest room. I'm going to leave it as such.
Yeah.
It's comfortable now.
Time is unkind to a lot of
them. Time's unkind.
But he'll be in at 8 o'clock, and we'll get a
talk about some of the things you need to know to tune up your heating system to be ready to go into the winter months.
All the construction we've been doing down in the basement ripping out and digging out for the new bathroom. I had to change the filter. When it's downstairs, I noticed when we were
you had to change it, or you
no, I had to. I mean, it was
dusty,
filthy,
yeah.
Absolutely filthy. And then noticed an improvement right away. It's one of the things we're going to touch on when Brian from Arlinghouse Heating and Air joins us at 8 o'clock. In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie. We need to pause. We'll be right back. Welcome back. In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie. It's a great day to get something done in and around your house, and fall is upon us, and time to get some things done.
Oh, yeah. Fall's a great time to plant fall bulbs to get those spring blooms. When I'm talking about fall bulbs, I'm talking about tulips, daffodils, hyacinths, crocus, alliums, which are one of my favorites. And we had a couple of get-togethers this week at Jackson Florist and Garden Center. One was a fall bulb class, and the other one was the Fort Wright Gardening Club that came in. We talked about fall bulbs and forcing bulbs, which was a great turnout, by the way. But fall bulbs, I wish more people would get on board and get excited about planting bulbs, because, you know, just planting a bulb today or this fall and anxiously awaiting, you know, those blooms that they bring us in the springtime, nothing more gratifying. And in addition to that, Ernie, you know, I can't think of another or a better way. There's other ways, don't get me wrong, to introduce young kids to gardening.
Mm-hmm.
and planting fall bulbs, you know, together as a family, you know, and just they're not going to see anything right away. But when those kids see what they did in the fall come springtime, it just, you know, that's rewarding. And a good way to introduce kids to gardening. And we need to get more kids involved with gardening. And again, a great website to go to is Dig Drop Done. It's a wonderful website. A lot of information on there about fall bulbs, any type of bulbs, as a matter of fact. You know, how to plant, when to plant. And fall is obviously the best time to plant, especially right now. And if you're not always sure of the proper depth to plant bulbs, just a good rule of thumb, if somebody gave you some bulbs as well, 3 times that, you know, the size of the bulb is what the depth should be. So just a good rule of thumb if in fact you're kind of questioning how deep it should be.
749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. And Tony, Regina got to a landline and called us back.
All right.
Regina.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Great. As I was trying to say before, I am part of Miami Historical Society, and this Tuesday evening we are having a speaker who wrote the book Growing Up Haunted, and he is going to be at the Miami Township Hall on State Route 128 in Miami Town, 7 o'clock, and he's very interesting. He wrote the book, and he will have some of his books there for sale.
That's awesome. Growing up haunted?
Growing up haunted.
So would that like entail growing up in a home that it's haunted? Or?
Absolutely.
Whoa. Now, have you ever encountered anything of the sort?
A little.
A little? A house that you grew up in or the one you currently live in? Or?
No, actually, my entire family is from Madison, Indiana, which is doomed to be one of the largest haunted towns in America.
Uh-huh.
So I've read periodically. So different stories that people in my family have told me, which have been interesting. I also do a ladies' tea at the hall in Miami Town in May. And we had an older lady who actually was a psychic in her younger days, still carries a lot of spirits with her.
Uh-huh.
But she got entranced in a corner of our room while she was sipping tea. And her daughter said, "Mom, what do you see?" And she said, "Well, there's a man over there in uniform and a small child. And you need to get that roof fixed. There's something up there that he wants to tell us about." That was very interesting.
Oh, wow.
That stuff. Wow.
So that was an experience. And then I had a grandfather that came back and visited my grandmother.
Well, we see you at the Long Island Medium show coming up at the end of the month?
No, I didn't know anything about it. I don't follow it. I just have experiences,
yes.
Let's say.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for calling us back. I know it was difficult there for a while.
And that is next Tuesday?
It is this coming Tuesday, again in Miami Town, Ohio, at the Miami Historic Center. It's a very large white building right on State Route 128 off of 275-74.
Do you expect a pretty good turnout for this event?
Boy, I hope so.
Yeah, I was just curious. Awesome. You know, if I can get Ernie to stop by, pick me up.
Yeah.
That would be interesting to take part in, Ernie.
It'd be fun. Yeah.
I'd love to have you there. My invitation is to all the listeners, and I think it would be just a great deal of fun to listen and see what he has to say.
And all right. Perfect time of year. Regina, thank you so much for calling us back.
Quite welcome. Thank you.
Have a good weekend. Day. You too. Bye.
That is, that's going to be fun.
And yeah, you know, weather. That would be neat. You know, I like to interact, you know, with the listening audience here that are part of the show all the time. And I think they appreciate those kind of things.
When's the last time you rode on a motorcycle?
It's going to be a beautiful day. It's funny. I got one to tell you. Dirt bikes is one thing. But a motorcycle, my dad took me. Last time I was on a motorcycle, like a street bike, and it was out there on, we were near Richardson Road, uh-huh. where it, you know, you come up the hill and you run right into old 3L there. And I'm on the back of this motorcycle with my daddy, a friend, you know, had a bike. And my dad just said, "Hey, let me borrow it." And we were out riding. And I remember we started up that hill and there was a house off to the right that had about 8 or 10 dogs. And they would start to run out and chase us. And my dad stopped. We went back down the hill. He's like, "Hold on, son. We're going to." He flew up there up to the top. But that's the last time I was on a street bike.
Hang on, Louie.
So you're saying you're going to come by on the bike?
Yeah, well, that's why I just was laughing. I said that would be. But I wouldn't mind going out there. That would be fun. We need to get on the road.
That would be very interesting. Yeah.
749 B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. A lot of great ways to stay connected with us. And sun is starting to come up. Beautiful weather for today. This is the perfect time to get out and get some stuff done in your yard. Make some plans for your flower beds, plant some bulbs. And also keep in mind, Brian Arlinghouse and Ryan, I think it's Ryan Houlihan's going to be joining us again coming up at the 8 o'clock hour. And we'll also get some stuff ready for you to be certain you don't have these issues. And I have to brag on these guys again. You know, my mother and father-in-law, Mammy and Pappy, had Arlinghouse put in a new furnace and got their air conditioner straightened out. And they came back again and did a fall maintenance program, found a little issue, not necessarily an issue, but something that needed to be have some attention paid to it. And so now they're ready to go into winter with no worries.
You know, great guys, to say the least. And, you know, when you work with Arlinghouse, you're working with some professionals. They care. Family-owned and operated. Know their stuff. And, you know, it just they'll bring a lot of things to your attention. And they're honest as a day is long. And you can definitely depend on them. You don't have to worry about getting flim-flammed. And if you're experiencing any issues or if you want a second opinion, call Arlinghouse Heating and Air. Great guys. They've done a couple jobs for me personally, and none of them were favors. You know, they came in and took care of some stuff for me, and I've been very, very satisfied, just like you. And you said Pappy and so forth. And I think they've even done some work for Katie, as a matter of fact. So good guys. And if you're having any issues or you have any questions, feel free to call and ask around the 8 o'clock hour when they join us here in the studio. You know, something else I want to talk about too, Ernie, is planting in the fall season. You know, last night I was at the Autumn Affair event, you know, the Boone County Arboretum event that was going on out there at St. Timothy Church in Union.
Give me a little bit of that auctioneer rhetoric.
Well, you know, it wasn't the one where you might see me in a big bow tie with polka dots on it and anything of the sort.
But, suspenders and a belt.
Yeah, no, I didn't do that. All right, give me 30, give me 30. Do I hear 35? Give me 35. That guy over there with the big head and the blue hat, 35, you know. But we had a great time. It was a fun event. A lot of shrubs out there and trees and just different plants and unique species. And I'll tell you, I was really grateful to be a part of that that event. And thank you kindly to Chris Stone and everybody from the Boone County Arboretum that put that wonderful event together. Joan, Claire, and her staff, or everybody that works there, the hors d'oeuvres were impeccable. The food was great. Just a wonderful event. But going back to all this, the shrubs and trees, and I did post one of those on the Facebook page, a viburnum that I picked up. And I was leaving there with that viburnum. I was sure of that. But now is a great time to plant. It really is. And take advantage of that. If there's some things you need to replace around your home and the landscape that you've been putting off, or if there's an old tree that needs to be removed or some shrubs that need to be pulled and you have the time to do it, take advantage of the fall season. Because when you plant in the fall, there's a lot less stress that's created or put upon the plant when you put it in. There's no transplant shock, any of those kind of things that's going to take place. And, you know, as things start to go into its dormancy stage, although it's cool up top as the weather cools down, underneath, below the soil surface, there's a lot of activity going on. So you get wonderful root development and growth during the fall season going into the winter months. And that really strengthens that plant for the next season. And as the next season approaches, you're going to see a plant that's putting on some robust growth and decent size. And it's because you planted it in the fall. It's a wonderful time to plant. Now, there are some things, for example, that I want to steer you away from planting in the fall. And it's things like, you know, crepe myrtles, for example. That is one of those type of plants that we're about as far north as you want to go. Some of those types of plants, put those off until the spring because you want them to root in during the summer months.
Gotcha.
But take advantage of planting during the fall. And the other thing I want to talk about is the Taking Root initiative. And if you're to plant a tree, please go to takingroot.org and register that tree. This whole initiative is to plant, what was it, a million trees by 2020?
Right.
Is that right?
Yes.
I think I got that correct. And if not, I apologize. But register that tree so we can obtain and reach that goal. We've lost a lot of trees here in the tri-state area as a result of the emerald ash borer, and in some cases, the Asian longhorn beetle up in the Bethel area. But nonetheless, let's register those trees so we can make this project, we can obtain that goal and make it a success, like you just said.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. We need to pause. We'll be right back. Welcome back, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. And we've been covering an awful lot of ground today, talking about a lot of different things. And Tony, we have Dan on the line from Indiana who's got a question about his blue spruce. What kind of problems are you having with it, Dan?
Well, it's a globe blue spruce, and it's at my parents' place, and I just was out there yesterday. And as I was driving up, I glanced over, and I thought, oh, man, something is eating that spruce. And upon closer inspection, about 80% of the needles look like they died because something was eating the needle from the inside out.
Probably bagworms.
I just wanted to know if you had any ideas what that might be I could do for it.
I would suspect bagworm activity. Was there anything hanging?
That's what I was looking for, and I did not see any bags.
You know, spider mite might be another insect issue that can wreak havoc on spruces.
Okay.
You know, that's hard to detect. Sometimes you see some really fine webbing. You might have to look underneath a microscope to see if you notice or see any spider mite eggs. Sometimes you can take some of those branches and tap them on a white sheet of paper, and some of the black tiny specks that fall off onto the white sheet of paper, if they're moving, you know, that might be an indication of spider mite.
Okay.
Also, you know, there's also a needle cast disease that the spruces, the blue spruces, you know, can have an issue with, like rhizosphera. Okay. So it's a number of things, but to be quite honest with you, if it's pretty far gone, you know, it doesn't sound good or look good. From a prognosis standpoint, you said it's a globosa type. Is it on a stand or is it close to the ground, a short graft?
It is it's right on the ground.
Yeah. And is it about what pretty good size, older?
It's been planted in that spot for going on 8 years now, I think. It's about 3 or 4 foot across.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
it did kind of look like the dead needles were kind of somewhat hanging off the branch, but when you brush it, they just fell.
Yeah. Did you see any, like, bags, like the bagworm, you know, the indication that there was activity by chance?
No, I did not see any bags.
Yeah.
Any
you know, you might take a piece of it, you know, into a local garden center or nursery close to you and see what they might be able to determine or analyze from that standpoint. But typically, if it's pretty far gone, are there two there matching by chance, or is it just one by itself?
Kind of a centerpiece and a little bed I wanted to redo and make it more of a backdrop, but it may just get removed now.
I think that's what I would do, because a lot of times, really, they don't respond well. They don't really needle, you know, back out, so to speak. And if it's pretty far gone, unfortunately, it's one of those things. But pick up the pieces and get out to one of your local garden centers and nurseries and look for, you know, something comparable to replace it with.
Okay.
All right, but one of those three things has probably occurred, or it could even be a drought over a period of time as well that can kind of be their demise. And when those things happen, it's been going on for a while.
Yeah.
But, you know, get out to one of your local garden centers or nurseries, pick up something comparable, and replace that for your parents. How's that?
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Take care. Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie and Brian Arlinghouse and Ryan Houlihan have joined us. So we're going to be getting those guys settled down. We're going to talk an awful lot about getting some things ready. And Ryan, I'm going to be asking you a few things about my house. I know you live close. And we've talked a couple of times this morning about my construction issues at home, but we've gotten an awful lot done. And a couple of things that I want to talk to you about. The upcoming season, and we'll get those straightened out as well. We'll get these guys settled in. 749-B105 in and around the house. We need to pause. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. And as promised, we welcome our friends from Arlinghouse Heating and Air back to the show. Brian Arlinghouse and Ryan Houlihan have joined us again. Welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Good morning, guys. I bet you're starting to get busy.
We have been. There's been no transition period this year like we normally have. Backside of August going into September, it just keeps going.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, we got a lot of things we're going to be asking you about, and right now we have Denny on the line, and let me get Denny on the line. So he's got a couple of questions.
Yeah, I think Denny's got a question about some annuals or something like when to bring some things in or not, if I'm not mistaken. Good morning, Denny. How are you? Hello, Denny. You there? Hello, Denny. Hey, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Oh, we're doing all right. What's going on in your neck of the woods?
Oh, not too much. Wanted to call in and let you all know about the hummingbirds.
Okay. Well, update us.
Yeah, I haven't seen any in a week.
Yeah, we haven't seen any in our house either. Really? A friend of mine asked me. I said, I believe they're gone.
I think it's kind of early.
Well, yeah, that might be a bad sign. So, you know, they left before this last cold front came through, I guess.
That's really interesting. Maybe they're trying to beat the tropical storms, you know? I mean, we had a little bit of activity down there near the Gulf area, but where do they go in the winter, Denny?
They go to Brazil.
Now, do some of them go to Mexico, too, or?
Yeah, it's a possibility, but the ruby-throat, it goes across the Gulf of Mexico down to Brazil and Venezuela and down in that area.
Well, and the other ones go to an all-inclusive.
All-inclusive, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You also had a question about your geraniums, right, Danny?
Yeah, what's a good temperature to start bringing them in?
Well, it gets,
Upper 40s, mid-40s, upper 40s.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I was just wondering because they're in full bloom right now and everything, and I didn't really want to mess with them.
No, right as we get there, and just maybe before, you know, there's a frost on them, a hard frost.
Yeah.
And go ahead and bring those in. They're easy to winter over. And next year, it'd be a huge plant. You know, take some cuttings off of it for next season as well.
Yeah, I usually have blooms in the wintertime, too. So I bring them in on the back porch. It's an enclosed back porch.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and I get blooms year-round and stuff. I just keep deadheading them, and they just keep blooming. So
just stay the course. Sounds like you're pretty well-versed with that.
Yeah. What about the elephant ears? Would that be a good time to bring them in, too?
Yeah, let a frost get to those guys as well. Are they in containers or are they in the ground?
They're in containers.
Oh, okay. You know what? As it starts getting cool, what I like to do with my elephant ear is I'll cut all the foliage off except for one small one.
Yeah.
And just, you know, you'll back off your watering a little bit. Don't fertilize and just let them go through a dormant state. And
right.
And then next year when it warms up, back outside and voila.
Yes. That's what I did this year, so I had real good elephant ears this year. So
stay the course.
All right, Denny, thank you so much for the call.
All right, y'all have a good day.
You okay. too. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Denny. Voila. Didn't know you spoke French. Well, we got our friends from Arlinghouse Heating and Air, and if you have any questions, make sure you give us a call, 749-B105. But we talked earlier before you guys got here about certain simple things homeowners can do to make sure they don't have any winter issues. And one of the things that I brought to Tony's attention with all the construction I've been doing down in my basement, it dawned on me I hadn't changed my filter.
Ooh.
And boy, when I did, it was awful.
I can get ugly.
It got ugly really pretty quick.
Easily forgotten.
It is. And I think that could be one of the primary things that homeowners just overlook. And it's a simple maintenance thing.
That's probably the number one thing we ask a customer when they call in. Did you change your filter? When's the last time did you change your filter? And
Don't you just pull it out and say, hey, here, you need to change this?
Well, we like to save them some money and let them look at it first before we do
right,
come out.
But, right.
A lot of times, yeah. Oh, yeah, I better change that.
Oh, I forgot all about that. But, you know, that's one of the simplest things that a homeowner can do. You know, when it comes to the maintenance aspect of your furnace and so forth, what is it that you guys are really looking for the homeowner?
You know, when we go through on a maintenance, so we show up, we do a 25-point inspection. We're going to check it for safety. We're going to mm-hmm. check all the mechanics to factory spec, and we're going to make sure that everything is ready to go for the heating season, not only mechanically, but also safety. We will make recommendations on air filters if you're using one that's too restrictive or one that's not catching, you know, quite mm-hmm. enough, or you could step
right.
up a little bit on it. And we also make recommendations to improve efficiency or safety or make sure you don't have a breakdown.
What about, is there any process that you go through or steps that you go through with the, like, thermostat, make sure everything's in, you know, talking to one another or the temperatures are correct? I remember those old thermostats. I don't know if you remember those old ones, Ernie, because you're old. with the dial, with the mercury level on it, that kind of...
Still see them every day.
Do you really? Are those things like Johnny on or...
They're Johnny off.
They're Johnny off.
Yeah.
Got it.
Sometimes on, sometimes off. They need to be replaced.
Yeah, normally they're 5 to 7, maybe even more degrees off.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, will you go through any type of process to, like, you know, turn on someone's furnace or run it for a bit to see if the thermostat's really, you know, where it should be temperature-wise when you're inside that room that the thermostat's in?
That's where we like to start.
Yeah.
You know, we show up. We call it thermostat talk. So at that point, we're gonna turn it on. We're gonna ask you a few questions about, you know, how it's been working either the current season or the previous season.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure there's no concerns and aspect to that, and then we'll check it for calibration. We just want to make sure that it's within 1 or 2 degrees. In all reality, it's just a number. Whatever the number is, it's irrelevant. If
just
it says,
turn it up. If you're cold, turn it up.
You
right?
got it.
So you feel warm.
Well, you guys, here's a perfect example. My mother and father-in-law used your services, and you were just at their house recently. What kind of things do you walk through? Especially, that's one of the things that Lisa and I just loved about your company coming out. Mother and father-in-law are at a certain age where they're vulnerable. other companies can come in and take advantage of them. They were thrilled with the service you provided. And tell us a little bit about that sort of day. Walk us through what you would do when you come to a home to do those inspections and maintenance things.
So we're going to make sure that you completely understand, you know, how to operate the system. If you do have a digital thermostat, it's not programmed to run a schedule. You know, we'll ask if you'd like to set that up so you can save some money. I mean, you can save about 10% a year on your utilities if you just run a program on it. That way, you know, temperature goes down at night when you're under the covers or when you're not home. So, and then from there, you know, we're going to make our way down to the furnace, make sure you know how to change the air filter, talk about the air filter, if there's any upgrades that you can make to that, like I said before, or if you're using one that's too restrictive. And then from there, we're just going to go through all the mechanics.
It made the world a difference. And I know that on occasions, these little preventative steps like this can save a homeowner an awful lot of worries during the winter and bigger problems.
Absolutely.
And it's affordable.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I remember the one time, I forgot who it was, one of your technicians, when we had an issue with a furnace at the florist. I know that he had this little video or camera where he found some cracks in the heat exchangers and so forth, which was unbeknownst to me and whoever really gets in there and takes a look at those things. But that's a huge safety issue as well. And, you know, do you find that often and during your inspections or maintenance programs when you're taking a look at someone's furnace? Is that something you run across often? And what could the potential outcome be because of that?
So, you know, it's definitely something that we stumble upon. It's something that, you know, we are looking for to make sure that it's safe. That was me. That was there with the camera.
I can't remember who it was. You all look alike. You all had that short hair, those G.I. Joe, nice-looking
beards.
He
leaves a great impression,
though. Yeah. Well, you know, I just remembered that. I'm like, you sure that didn't come from another service call? Was that really my furnace? You know, you got, nope, that's in there. And, yeah, I had no idea. And what was that? That was that... Now, I'm going back to some of the old boys at the florist and garden center back then. Whatever they did to cut costs, they would do it. And you said it was a Goodman?
Yep.
And, yeah, that's not one of your battery units. So.
Contractor-grade equipment.
Yeah, I hear that all the time. Goodman, replace that.
You're like, what do you mean Goodman's
sounds
not
good?
Good?
Yeah, sounds good. Badman. Get a Badman system. No, but, yeah, I was really impressed with that. I was like, whoa, you know, I had no idea. And you know, I really, that was eye-opening to me. And I thought, you know, there's a lot of integrity when you do that. And you gave me the lowdown. And it's like, whoa, yeah, it definitely needs to go. Because there's a lot of potential issues there that could come as a result of cracked heat exchangers. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, ultimately, it's up to you. You live there. It's your house. You know, whatever the case may be, we're going to let you know about it. So, you know, we use cameras. That's what I used there.
Right,
it was a
right.
camera to inspect the inside of that. Also, what I did there was I pulled the circulating fan out of the bottom so that I could get a good look from below.
Right.
And then, you know, we do carry equipment that is able to take pictures of it. So, you know, after I was in there and I looked so that you could see it, you know, I took the pictures of it and we went over that.
I was like, whoa, yeah, it's definitely got to come out of there. But you guys did a wonderful job with it. And then I was trying to cut costs, you know, and I was talking about the old timers. And I thought, well, okay, the air conditioning condenser unit on the outside, you know, we'll just go with it. And then next year, I had to call you back, replace that too. So take it from me, if you're replacing one, do the other. That's a fact.
Makes sense, absolutely.
Yeah, no, that's a fact. And I can rest comfortably knowing that that's all good and well. I know that I'm gonna have you change one more of those Goodmans out. Because both of those were put in at the same time. So, yeah, it makes some funny noises. So you'll probably get a call from me before long. That's the one that's in the design room.
I'll be waiting.
749-B105 in and around the house. And we've got our friends Brian Arlinghouse and Ryan Houlihan from Arlinghouse Heating and Air in with us for the next hour. If you have any issues or questions or looking for some advice, we're going to talk to them and find out how you can save some money. That's an important thing, too. A lot of homeowners will try to limp through with what they have, and it costs them more money than
it
really should.
It did me when I was trying to save a little bit of money and just do one thing and extend the life of something else that I had no business trying to extend its life to begin with. So, Yeah. If you have any questions for these guys, a wealth of knowledge, it's free information. If you're doing a heat pump or you have a heat pump or you're having issues or you would, these are the guys you want to ask because they are the professionals and they will treat you well and very respectable in the industry. I've heard nothing but good things about you guys. In addition to what Ernie and I have experienced with your company, Arlinghouse Heating and Air, great guys. I mean, I see your trucks everywhere, as a matter of fact.
We appreciate that. Yeah, we work hard every day to do it right. And it's
and your name's on it. You know, yeah. Your family owned and operated. Your name's on it. That's what's really important, and you want to back that.
The entire Arlinghouse team believes in it, so that makes it even better.
749-B105, In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie. We need to pause. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. It's a great day to get something done in and around your house. We have our friends from Arlinghouse Heating and Air with us. And we have Brian Arlinghouse and Ryan Houlihan. And we've been talking a little bit about what you need to know getting your furnace and everything in your house ready for the new season and maintenance specifically. Tell us a little bit about your program.
So, you know, if you just need a single tune-up, we've got those. You know, you can call in, get a heating tune-up done. But, you know, we've got a great maintenance plan. The maintenance plan, you can either do it yearly or you can do it monthly. Our monthly plan is just $19.95 a month. And you get quite a few extras with that. That covers your heating and your cooling tune-up. You also get a few extra services on the tune-up, especially pooling and cleaning the circulating fan that's in your furnace. So the thing that moves all the hot and cold air.
What does spooling mean, cleaning and spooling? What does that mean? Sorry, I have no idea.
Make it a big blanket, Ernie.
we're gonna pull it out of the furnace. Okay. Right? So we're gonna completely remove that. We're gonna separate the motor and the wheel from each other. We're going to clean up the motor to make sure that there's no dust on the back of it. So we want to make sure that the motor has plenty of room to breathe. You know, we don't want the motor to overheat. And then the circulating, the wheel itself, just a 16th of dirt on that can reduce airflow in the house by 25%.
No kidding.
So we want to make sure that that's nice and clean.
Wow.
So the maintenance plan has that at no charge.
And people don't understand that there are some particles that get beyond the filters, and it actually will get right to that blower motor. So it's very important to have that blower motor and blower wheel cleaned to keep save on efficiency.
I have to admit, that's probably something I would have never given a thought to. I would have approached that is, oh, yeah, I changed the filter.
Yeah.
When?
Yeah, that's what you normally think.
I changed it not long ago.
Yeah.
That's probably the answer you get a lot.
And most maintenance plans out there don't do that. You know, you get all these $39 specials doing a cleaning. Well, they're not pulling blower motors and cleaning them. Not really in-depth doing what needs to truly be done.
I can see that really being beneficial because if you just, I'm thinking about the greenhouse fans that we have in the greenhouse, how they just dirt and debris will build up on that, and we have to clean those periodically.
Oh yeah.
So I guess the same would be as that blower motor and also the fan inside.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it gets beyond a filter. That makes a lot of sense because that does build up.
So go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. It just caught my ear, and I didn't know what that entailed. So what else you got?
Well, so above and beyond pulling and cleaning the blower wheel, as far as the outdoor unit goes in the spring, it's kind of getting off the topic of heating, but the maintenance plan also includes an acid wash on the outdoor unit to make sure that the outdoor unit has plenty of airflow. And so the common theme is airflow. Airflow is extremely important, not only for the longevity of the equipment, but also it helps out with the bills too. So, you know, if we're moving more air and we're heating and cooling more efficiently, then your system's going to spend less time running, less time using energy.
That makes perfect sense. As I mentioned in the previous break, how a lot of people would try to limp through. They're just not efficient as the new ones are today. Consequently, you're spending more money paying electric and energy bills, and it's running all the time. So this is a perfect way for you to save
money. Yeah, you can kind of control what you're going to spend by just having it maintained and treating it properly, just as you would changing oil in your car.
Mm-hmm. That makes perfect sense. Yeah, we're really thrilled with the service that you provided for my mother and father-in-law, and this is one of those things where our listeners have an opportunity now to capitalize on this. Give us some contact information before we get back to your maintenance program.
Yeah, our main office number in Northern Kentucky is 859-727-9000. You can get on the web. We're at arlenehouseair.com, and very informative website, very user-friendly. So, yeah, you can contact us that way at any time.
So what else would you do when you come by and check things out on your maintenance checklist?
So, you know, one of the best benefits of this plan, and this was the mastermind of Brian here, when we were, you know, putting together benefits for the plan, one of the things that I really like is that not only are you covered for your heating and your cooling checks, you get a discount on everything that we do, but, you know, your service calls. Let's say you have a breakdown. And you need us out there. There is no charge for the service call if you're a maintenance plan member, if you schedule it between the hours of 8 and 3 Monday through Friday. So you got a problem, it's broke down, we get out there. There's no charge to come out and tell you what's wrong. And then you get a discount on everything that we do. You get a discount on the repair. So
that's fantastic.
It really is.
Yeah, it pays for itself over and beyond.
You clearly see that.
Yeah.
749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. We have Brian and Ryan here with us. We're talking about heating and air, and one of the other topics that we wanted to touch on coming up in the next segment is going to be some heat exchangers and some of the misdiagnosed problems. But what's the simplest thing? I know we talked about changing the filter, but you also brought in a new thermostat too. Tell us a little bit about what the problems can be with old thermostats.
Just the inaccuracy of the thermostat, you know, it being off. You get, so the old mercury bulb, we talked about that. You get peaks and valleys in temperatures. So it warms the house up really, really warm, uh-huh. and then it's off for a while, and it cools down, and then it comes back on. And so a digital thermostat is going to keep it more on an even keel. You're going to keep it within a half degree. It may come on. It may cycle more, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely you're going to get more accurate temperatures, and then being able to program it for the schedule. And then that way when you're not home, you're not burning up that energy using the gas or using the electricity. So.
Makes perfect sense. 749-B105 in and around the house. We have Arlinghouse Heating and Air in with us. We have Brian Arlinghouse and Ryan Houlihan. We need to pause. When we come back, we're going to talk about heat exchangers and some misdiagnosed problems that you may be seeing in your system. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. We got our friends from Arlinghouse Heating and Air with us. We have Brian Arlinghouse and Ryan Houlihan. And Ryan, you'd be happy to know, your mom sent out a group text of reminding everybody to listen to you. We're old family friends.
She is a sweetheart.
What a nice mom.
She is. She's, her nickname is Care Bear. We talked about that.
Care Bear. I like it. Got
a heart the size of Montana.
He's going to have a new nickname at the office now.
Nice. Put it on the list.
But we've talked an awful lot about maintenance, but we want to move to a safety aspect about home systems. And you brought up, Brian, often a misdiagnosis of heat exchanger and some issues there. Do you tell us about that?
Yeah. You know, even going back to what was Tony was talking about earlier, about when Ryan was out at his house and looking at this furnace and seeing cracks. So a camera sometimes can make a scratch look like a crack. So we need to make sure that it is a crack.
Okay.
And there is a lot of times where maybe somebody will take a camera and see this and it looks like a crack and it's just a scratch and maybe a heat exchanger really doesn't need to be replaced. So it is very important to make sure that it does have a crack before it is replaced or condemned.
So you may get a poor diagnosis there.
There is a lot of free second opinions where we run and we go out and sometimes find it. Yes, it was, but more times than not, we find that it was not cracked.
But let's talk about second opinions. You guys get called very often where someone says, hey, you know, Joe Blow Heating and Air came in and said, I need this system and that system. And what do you think? You get that often where you will come in?
Happens on a daily basis.
Really?
Yes.
Well, it's always best to get that second opinion, then, isn't it?
It is. Homeowners just don't know. They're not heating and air conditioning experts. And, you know, most homeowners don't even know it's there until it's broke.
Right.
Not working. But they just don't know. And sometimes they're afraid of it. and no reason to really be afraid of it, as long as you're taking care of it. But, you know, most people don't know, so getting a free second opinion is a great thing. We encourage, when we're going to see a homeowner, you know, you might want to get a second opinion.
Sure.
Even when we're there. So it's, you know, we're not all perfect, but homeowners should spend their money wisely.
You mentioned a key word there, free.
Free.
So if I'm a homeowner, somebody comes in and says, you've got to replace this, don't act right away. Say, hang on, I'd like to get a second opinion. We call Arlinghouse Heating and Air.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Compressors and heat exchangers are two major malfunctions that can happen, and getting a free second opinion is very wise.
I love that idea. Give us your contact information one more time, because we don't want our listeners to miss this opportunity to get some free advice and some help along the way.
Yeah, so our website is arlinghouseair.com. Get on there, and you can communicate with us through that website or get informed and educated on some different things with heating and air. Our main office number is area code 859-727-9000, and we really cover the entire greater Cincinnati area, so all of southern Indiana, southern Ohio, and all of northern Kentucky.
That's fantastic news. And you can, of course, link through our Facebook page, too, In and Around the House at B105 is our email address. Jump on our Facebook page, and we're covering a lot of ground, getting some stuff ready. And we just while we were in the break, we were talking a little bit about my little project there, and I wanted to ask you what we were talking about. So I've got all this construction work going on, and the old air conditioner really struggled, especially this year. I mean, it worked when we needed it to, but I'm curious as when would be a good time to get an assessment of that. Wait till next year or do it now?
Now.
Do it now.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, a lot of homeowners will put it off until next season.
Right.
Well, then what happens is next season rolls around and they maybe have forgotten about it, and then all of a sudden there's this heat wave.
Right.
Then all companies are backed up 3-4 weeks, mm-hmm. and then you're waiting. And then homeowners sometimes can make poor decisions because now it's hot in their house, mm-hmm. and they want to be cool. So it's always good to plan it out and know what's expected for when that time does come, and just start with the process as soon as you can. Yes.
Well, let's go back to that maintenance again, Ryan. Should I call? And I will call. I'm going to have you guys come out, because I know I just got a text from my wife, said, go ahead and make the appointment.
Just make it here. You're here. You don't need to call.
But let's talk about what you would do coming to my house, knowing that I'm going to replace this system. Tell me what would be the steps to go through.
So we're going to go through all the mechanics. Mm-hmm. We're going to make sure, that it's first and foremost, we want to make sure that it's safe. If there's anything on the horizon mechanically, because everything has a tolerance range, the factory puts all those tolerance ranges, out there for us. Some are on the data plate of the furnace, so we can compare those and find out if something's getting weak, getting ready to break, something like that. And we can give you the heads up on it and let you know, is now the time to act? Or are you okay to move forward through this season, mm-hmm. and without any issues?
And even though if Arlinghouse didn't put the furnace in, you're still going to go through the same steps. You're still going to go through all these, analogies to make sure that the issues aren't there waiting to be exposed.
It doesn't matter what the brand is.
Yeah, love that.
We service them all, so we're well-diversed.
I love that. 749-B105, In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie. We need to pause, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie. We have our friends from Arlinghouse Heating and Air in with us this morning. We have Brian Arlinghouse and Ryan Houlihan, and we've been talking a lot about maintenance, and I still have some more questions about replacing my air conditioner since I'm doing some renovation at the house, which has been lasting a long time, but there's other dangers and other concerns.
Right? Oh, definitely. And one of those is that I noticed that you brought in a carbon monoxide detector. And, you know, how important are those to have in a home? And I say this to my dad all the time. He doesn't have one. I know that I've mentioned it to him two or three times. But carbon monoxide in the home is a silent killer. And that happens. Don't think that can't happen to you. Just sometime, you know, somebody, you just don't wake up. But tell us a little bit about, Ryan, how important are these to have in the home? How often will you replace one? And what are some of the symptoms that somebody might be experiencing if, in fact, there is carbon monoxide?
So it's important to have a carbon monoxide detector on every floor, preferably near the bedroom and near the appliances, right? So the one that we have here today is actually a low-level carbon monoxide detector. Would highly recommend having at least one low-level carbon monoxide detector in the house. This particular one is an NSI carbon monoxide detector. It is not one that you're going to find at Home Depot or Lowe's. I'm actually getting ready to go through the training or the recertification on that. So we have to be certified in order to be able to even offer this one.
Right.
So this one will detect all the way down to 5 parts per million in carbon monoxide, which is... You know, a heavy smoker could probably have 5 parts per million in their house in all reality. But it will go off at 15 parts per million. So at 15 parts per million, it'll beep every 8 seconds. Whereas, you know, one of the if you go with one of the cheaper ones, which you definitely shouldn't do, right, with something that is this important, those may not go off until 150, 200 parts per million, and they have to detect that amount of carbon monoxide for between 60 and 240 minutes before they even go off. So if you were swimming in the ocean, would you want to know that there was a shark in the water before or after it bites you?
Probably after. Then I know what happened.
Okay,
you know,
but... That's a good analogy.
It really is. I like it. That sounds like something I would tell my wife as an analogy, and she said, "Where did you come up with
that?"
Let
me see.
But it works. That's right. You know, I like that. Perfect, perfect, perfect. You know, let me ask you this. You know, I have one on each floor, and it's tied in with a smoke detector. But, you know, I really don't know the if it's a low level or what it is that you're describing. And actually, now that you've captured my curiosity, I'm going to look at my my pamphlet, you know, the information on that particular unit. But I did replace those just a few years ago. How often should you replace these?
Every 7 years, just every like seven? Smoke detectors, yeah.
There's an expiration date on them. Every seven years.
On these?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Some of them will tell you the date of manufacture on the back.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them will actually have an expiration date on the back as well. It'll also tell you, you know, the response time at what level and how quickly it'll tell you on the back of the carbon monoxide detectors. There are a couple that I've seen that don't have any of that information on it.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got one of those, then you went too cheap. Just throw it away and get it.
Is there a way that you could set one off to make sure that it's functioning properly? Well, just a test button, but
yep.
I mean, is there like...
What's that noise?
What's that noise? That's a dishwasher going off. It's okay.
Turkey's ready.
You could hold it up to the exhaust pipe on your car.
Oh, okay. Well, I can't do that with mine. Mine are hardwired.
Oh,
so.
There you go.
But...
What are some of the sources of the carbon monoxide? I mean, you know, I guess for senior members of our community, it could be as simple as they may have backed the car down into the garage and sadly left it running.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
A gas appliance running in the house where maybe it does have a cracked heat exchanger and it's letting CO into the airstream. That is a good reason to have a carbon monoxide in our industry.
Gas water heaters. Let's say a bird gets down on the flue, backs up
right.
The gases from that, it goes in the house.
And we see that. We do
really?
See that.
Yeah.
Sometimes there are water heaters out there that just don't vent properly, and the CO is coming backwards into the house. And I will say that actually happened in my home, and thank God I had a CO detector in there because it did pick it up, and we found a problem and were able to fix it.
And is this something you guys will install? I mean, you're talking about getting the new training and all that. When you come in, do you is it a part of your assessment of the systems and go, you really need a carbon monoxide detector too?
We'll actually ask you where the carbon monoxide detectors are located. If you've got one in the house, we're going to walk around. We're going to make sure that it works.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that the battery's still good in it. We'll also flip it over on the back to look at it. If there's no low level, then... a detector in the house, then we'll make sure that we recommend one of those. October is a big month for this, and we're always running a special on these in October. So
perfect. You know, what are some of the symptoms that somebody might be experiencing if they have carbon monoxide issues in the home?
So, I mean, flu-like symptoms. So dizziness, headaches, nausea, you know, things like that.
Right. And yeah, I just, you know, and again, it's one of those things, I guess, I say this to my dad all the time, get one. Oh, yeah, I will, yeah.
Extremely
I think it's very important. And, you know, and he has one of those older style hot water tanks, you know, it just flues out up the chimney.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, Brian, that's a huge source right there. And he has an older furnace. I know that it needs some attention and changing out. And it's just, things are a lot different today than how they used to be.
Yeah. You know, we're not saying this stuff is unsafe, but
right.
Be safe to make sure.
Right.
And most people in the wintertime, they kind of brush these symptoms off and just think it's normal. But some people do suffer of these symptoms just because their CO in the airstream, lower levels, that you can prevent that from happening.
And when you do a maintenance check, do you have a device that will detect those kind of issues?
Absolutely.
Is it common that you find that sometimes, or...?
You know, it's rare that we find it, actually. But we do carry carbon monoxide detectors in our bags with us, and, you know, turn it on outside before we go in the home.
Right.
And in that way, while we're working, to make sure that we're safe, you know, where we're at. So we've got one on us at all times.
I'm just curious real quick. How many homes, percentage-wise, would you say that you go into that do not have CO detectors?
50%.
Wow. That's high. I'm just, you know, I bet that's pretty common.
Yeah. Or they have one that is, you know, 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, you know, you're really, at that point, you can't be certain that the accuracy is there on that, because
right.
the sensors go bad.
Wow.
You know, back in the day, older homes, they were less efficient. Fresh air would come into the home. Well, we've got these tight, efficient homes where no outside air is coming in to dilute it out. So now it's even more important.
Makes sense.
749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. And Tony, we have Paul on the line from Indy, who's got a furnace and AC question for Brian and Ryan. Hi, Paul. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Oh, all right.
What kind of question do you have?
Well, I got a total electric heat pump, and I noticed the outside unit, when I turned it to heat last year, I haven't had it looked at. My problem, my fault. But I noticed the outside unit froze up like a solid block of ice. And I didn't know whether it was low on Freon or if the defrost cycle circuit board is bad.
Be hard to tell without going out and looking at it, but definitely you're right on point. It could be either one of those issues. Low Freon can induce that icing and make it build up a lot faster than it's supposed to, and then the defrost cycle, if it is working, it may not be able to thaw it out quick enough, or maybe the defrost board isn't working at all.
Okay.
Did it work in the air conditioning mode?
Now, the air conditioner works fine. It doesn't freeze up at all.
So then you'd probably be leaning more on the defrost board.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because in the air conditioning mode, it would have froze up also somewhere down through the summer, and it's so.
Oh, okay, like it was, yeah, it had done that. Because I just didn't want somebody to come in and, you know, tell me, hey, well, this can't be fixed. You have to get a whole new unit.
Anything can be fixed.
They can always be fixed. unless they don't make the part anymore, which is... very rare.
Okay, that's about 12, 14 years old.
Yeah, they should still make parts for that, so I wouldn't worry about that.
All righty. Well, that was my question.
Great question.
Well, thanks,
Thank
Paul.
You.
All right, Paul, have a good weekend.
All right, you too. Thank you.
749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. And we have Brian and Ryan with us, getting a lot of issues resolved. And I wanted to ask a couple of other things that we're going to touch on in just a few minutes. But let's get your contact information one more time so our listeners will know.
ArlingHouseAir.com website. And main phone number is 859-727-9000.
In and around the house with Tony and Ernie. We need to pause. We'll be right back.